Thanks, readers. Thanks, Janie. Will you pray with me, please? Dear God, please send your spirit now that we may learn of you. We thank you for these words of Jesus, timeless words of Jesus. And we want to ask you, Lord, to apply them to our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Hate. That's what we're here to talk about this morning. Such an ugly word, isn't it? Yet not near as ugly as when we experience hatred. And we all experience hatred. We've all had hateful things thrown at us. And I talk as a straight white male, how different it is for people who are in categories of groups that experience hate on a regular basis, right in this city. So whether it's hate we see on the news or whether it's hate we've experienced online, especially if we've just posted something, or whether it's hate that's spewed at us from a driver that we don't even know. And again, that can happen to us when we least expect it. Or hate we see from random strangers, or the hate we experience from family members. It's all painful, isn't it? And the pain of hateful words and actions is real, and it's long-lasting, and it's not something to be brushed under the carpet. Especially this weekend. We used to think in Toronto we were kind of shielded from hate. Such a nice place. Toronto the Good. Remember we called it Toronto the Good? 5 years ago, this weekend, the Danforth shootings. Danforth Street remembers this weekend. Not to mention all the other incidents that have happened in the news since then. But, you know, hate's really important to us English speakers, isn't it? I looked in Merriam-Webster. How many synonyms are there for hatred in the English language? How many do you think? Five? Six? There's 42 of them. 42 synonyms. Words like detest, abhor, despise, execrate. If you're learning English as a second language, you must really think we have a lot of things to hate or a lot of people that we hate. Now, social scientists tell us that hate is on the rise in Canada, but we don't need surveys to tell us that hate is on the rise in Canada. We can see it, can read it in the news, we can feel it. We can even feel in our hearts when the tentacles of hatred try to get wrapped around our hearts. So why is hate on the rise? Well, I would think there's many reasons, more than we can count right now, but one reason is definitely fear. In a world that's increasingly scary, it's easy to hate because hate serves as a defensive mechanism. When we fear, we put up our defenses and we may end up hating the people or groups that we think are out making us less secure. Another is permission. Particularly in our political discourse, it's become more permissible to express hate, hasn't it, over the last decade. And then, of course, there's social media, which brings an amplified version of hate right into our homes, 24/7. What is hate? Isn't hate just an emotion that we use to protect ourselves or to give ourselves an excuse to turn away from a human being? Or to allow ourselves to go on in selfish patterns? That's why we turn to this Bible story. Bible story that originated with Jesus. And of course, it's commonly called the prodigal son. Well, what's the prodigal son a reference to? It's actually a reference to the younger son's reckless spending habits. So probably not the best name for that story. But it's the story of a loving God figure who runs to accept and forgive and welcome back his wayward son. And it's unparalleled in its succinct, vivid portrayal of the grace of God. But interestingly, on that level, functioning on that level, the story would work just fine without the inclusion of the older son, wouldn't it? It would still teach us about God's wonderful grace. That because of the relationship between the father and the younger son is what teaches us about grace. But by including the older son in the story, it teaches us ourselves about our responses to other people. So for the next few minutes, let's just consider that older son. Now, Jesus' original audience would have really readily understood that older son and the reason for his outrage. They lived in a culture that understood shame and honor. The younger brother had brought shame upon the family. So it was the absolute duty of the father and of the older brother to restore the order to the family and rectify that shame-filled situation. And that's why the older brother feels that he can speak the way he does to the father. He refers to his brother as that son of yours. He dissociates himself from the shameful young man, and he highlights the fact that it was he, not the father, who was calling out the wrong, doing the thing that was supposed to be done. But then the older brother goes further. He personalizes the matter. He takes it inside himself, and he complains about the inferior treatment that he feels that he has received by way of contrast with his brother. Dr. Mariana Pagosin in Psychology Today says that hate involves an appraisal that a person is evil. She goes on to say that hate has unique features, such as the motivation to try and eliminate the object of your hate. This older son would have gladly eliminated the object of his hate. And he, in fact, tried to keep his brother from re-entering into the family. Why? Because he deemed his brother to be evil. Now, can we defend the older brother's actions? Can we perhaps agree with his cry for justice from his father? Father, it's not fair! Well, no, we can't defend him. But we can relate to him because, in a sense, he was right. It was not fair. He had outperformed his younger brother in every sense, hadn't he? I mean, think about it. The older brother, at least in his own estimation, had given up so much for this family. He had stayed close to home, not traveled around the world. He had sacrificed his individuality and his entrepreneurial spirit to slavishly follow his father's orders and take care of the family property and enterprise. He had worked hard, but he had not been recognized for his work. Where in response was the father's generosity toward him? He had earned what was coming to him through loyalty, service, and hard work. His younger brother had squandered what was his, and now his father was offering the squanderer the best of what the family homestead had to offer. What do you think was the older brother's problem? I think it was jealousy, resentment, and self-righteousness. And when we hear from representatives of groups that experience hatred on a regular basis, that's what they tell us. They think it's jealousy, resentment, and self-righteousness. Well, can we brush the older brother off as merely a party pooper? No, because he hated his younger brother. Again, quoting from Dr. Pogayasan, you are angry at someone because of what they do. You hate someone because of what they are. Having witnessed his brother's lifestyle, the older brother pinned a label on his brother. He lumped his brother in with the crowd of riffraff and lowlifes that he had learned to look down on. And in doing so, the father tells him he was wrong. He was wrong to hate his brother. The father longed to show mercy to the younger brother, and that was his right to do so. See, the father had more reason to be angry with the younger son than his brother did, but the older son chose to hate. Maybe even for good reason, if we can say that restoring the family's honor was good reason. And yet the father tells him that he was wrong. His father tries to diffuse the anger by showing that the only right response to the younger brother was grace and mercy. So the question comes to us today. When have we been the older brother in the story? When have we let jealousy, resentment, and self-righteousness sow seeds of hatred in us? When have we let our biases turn into prejudices and let them go unchecked so that we, inadvertently at least, have fanned the flames of hate rather than dousing them? Well, what is the father's answer to this older brother and to us? It is these beautiful words, "Child, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. You are always with me, and all that I have is yours." He was saying to us, daughter, son, you have my love. You know my presence, my provision, and my love. Open your heart to receive it. Open your hearts as I have opened mine, and extend it to one who needs so much. So let me ask you then, how do we douse the inferno of hate? Well, first of all, realize that it's a God-sized problem. We're not going to solve all the problem, but remember that God uses us in the solution, one person, one situation at a time. Second, confess the fact that sometimes we do hate. We all struggle with those feelings associated with othering and labeling. Prayerfully ask God to change you from the inside out and set a new course. Third, lovingly and courageously call out hate when you see it and hear it. Fourth, listen to others so that they can be understood. Understand that everybody lashes out in hurt and hate because of their own hurt and pain. And then we can see that fact in ourselves and see it in others as well. And this leads to empathy. Fifth, internalize the Father's words, child, you are with me, and all that I have is yours. Sixth, offer that truth to others with grace. And finally, remember what Jesus said, bless and do not curse. Pray for haters. Well, that's hard. Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I tell you, those are revolutionary words for our age today. The world needs to hear those words. It's such a big topic, isn't it? It's all we have time for today. But we as a church are a group of people that want to be part of the solution. So I'd invite you back in September. We're going to talk more about these situations, and we're going to dig deeper into this problem and see if we can find solutions. The story of the prodigal son, beautiful story that it is, was left unfinished, wasn't it? It doesn't resolve the attitude of that older brother, and that's intentional, because each of us has to write the ending of the story for ourselves. Will we receive and echo back the loving, accepting words of the Father, or will we let hate go unchecked in ourselves and in other people? The choice is ours.